the oil lamps in the front to give light. So this evening, when my sister-in-law Kaushal was with us, and we were going to Babajan, walking there, we were practically in the middle of the road, and then when we would hear the hoofs of horses, then one automatically moved to the side of the road, aside. So this evening, there was this Victoria from behind. We could hear the big hoofs of the horses, prop, 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 and we knew a Victoria was coming, so we automatically moved to the side. But suddenly, it struck us, at least it struck Kaushal very forcibly, why was there no light thrown? Usually first when you turn, when you hear the horses' hoofs, you turn around and you see the rays of the oil lamp. There was none. It was darkness. So she turned her head. And as she turned her head, she saw the passenger in that unlighted, dark Victoria. And she shouted, Baba, and started running. She started running, and she lost one slipper, but she didn't mind it. She just kept running after the Victoria. When she said, Baba, I turned at the same time, all I saw was only the lower part of the person sitting in there. I saw the white sadra up till here, the langa, and the feet and the sandals. So I also said, Baba, and started running after my sister-in-law, who was a bit ahead of me. And my mother shouting, what is it? What is it? Stop. What is the matter with you? Why don't you tell me? We weren't listening to her. We just kept on after that Victoria. And as we came close to it, we saw that it came to where Baba Jan's place, seat is, that neem tree and her seat. Next to it is a little lane. And that was, in those days, it was a dead end. There was nothing beyond. We saw the Victoria turn into that lane. So we knew that that's all right. Now we will, of course, catch it. So my sister-in-law came up to the end of the lane. She turned. I then caught up with her, and we went in, and there was no Victoria. Nowhere to be seen. I mean, it's a long stretch. You should have seen it. So we asked the people, did you see Victoria? They looked amazed. Victoria? Here? They looked at us very queerly. We asked somebody else until we came to the dead end. Where would a Victoria hide? There were these little houses and nothing. Couldn't believe it. In the meantime, my mother had caught up. But what is it? Look, mother, this is what it is. You saw that Victoria? Well, Baba was in it. We saw him, and we followed him. Oh, isn't that just like Mero? I suppose the whole of Pune knows my son is here. His mother wouldn't know. He'd never inform his mother. Look, mother, look, this is not the time for things like, let's go home. And we came, Matt, we didn't even go to Baba Jan's, you know? We just from far did that. We saw her from, we didn't go and sit there as we usually did. We'd sit there 2-3 hours. We just returned home. And then mother was still grumbling. And then when we came home, we said the only thing to do is send a telegram. In those days, telegrams went fast and came fast. So back came the telegram. Baba has been in Mehrabad all the time. So even when she came back, came back to Mehrabad after the visit home in Pune, my sister-in-law brought up the subject. And Baba just waved it off. Nodded, but yes, no. He wouldn't explain. That he's been there all the time, then she knew, of course, he was there.
You puzzled over this through the years, I guess, trying to understand what happened, or you just dropped it like that?
No, we never thought of it.
What sort of personality is Baba Jan?
Baba Jan's personality. She was small to look at, beautiful. I mean, when I saw her, she was supposed to have been well over 100. Beautiful complexion, fair, pink, curly, white hair, piercing eyes, A little high voice. Very authoritative. I mean, you could feel that authority in her. And stubborn. That is, if she wanted something, no amount of persuading of all those around her or others. No, she wanted that. She was charming. She could also be very abusive. If she, on occasion, and she would swear, if somebody called her Amma-jan, Amma means mother, Baba means father or brother, and yet she was called Baba-jan. So if anybody called her Amma-jan, they were sure to get it. And because she meant man in the sense of that strength. Only a man, a warrior, a man in the real sense, a man who could have victory over himself, over his own thing. That alone, to her, to their way of saying it, that alone is a man. The rest are eunuchs. You know, we who are go along are slaves to our own desires. We have not... We are enslaved. We are not victors over our own selves. And for that, it needs to be only a man can do it in that sense, not in the sense of the different sexes. Because one life I'm a man, next life I'm a woman. What does that mean? But the man in that sense. So anyway, like for instance, when she would go to sit under the enormous mango tree there, which we used to call the Baba-jan tree there, under which Baba used to also sit and give the last farewell to his lovers before leaving Pune and coming to Ahmednagar and to Mehrazad. So they would persuade. She had, the people who were looking after her, one of them was a huge man with a big black beard, but they would all bend down. They were like lambs. I mean, they could have been lined out, but they were like lambs before her, pleading with her, coaxing her. So Padre's mother, you know, Padre's mother, Freni Masi, she was very much attached to Baba-jan. Her house was close by. She spent a lot of her time with Baba-jan. So even when Mother and I would go, we would sit along with her there, you see. So now when she had to go to Bangarden, Baba-jan would be walking briskly ahead. The others would always, you know, run after her to catch up, to be with her, like we used to do with Baba. And she was determined to walk. And they would say, Baba-jan, the tonga. There would be a tonga going along beside Baba-jan, you know, empty, but keeping, and the others persuading her, Baba-jan, please sit in the tonga. She turned around, abused one or said something, and she went on. But then, Freni Masi, Padre's mother, would try and coax her. So you know how she would do it? Being a woman, woman to woman, what she would say, oh, Baba-jan, I have to come with you all the way, and I'm so tired. My feet ache so much. Baba-jan would turn and look at her, sort of, so that's the game. All right. Then she'd sit in the tonga, and they'd go. She was also so charming and such humor she could have. Sometimes she would talk very cryptically. Nobody understand what she was saying. Other times she would talk lucidly. For instance, when in the early days, before my mother accepted Baba, gave Baba up to the world, before my mother accepted Baba-jan and Upasani Maharaj and all that, in the days when she was fighting for her son, she told her mother, my grandmother, who was also very beautiful in her time, Golandun, who'd come from Persia. All my ancestors are from Persia. You know, it's been unbroken. This generation was the first that came from there, migrated because of persecution by the Mohammedans of that time and things like that. So my mother said to her mother, now you go and tell that old lady. You give her a piece of my mind. What does she mean? Keeping my marrow there all hours of the evening and he's late for supper and I cook his favorite dish and keep it all prepared. He promises to come at such a time. The food gets cold, and I keep looking, is he coming? And what is he doing sitting there? I mean, she shouldn't keep him for so long. She must see or also know that I'm his mother, And she must send him back in time, you know. How was the household to be like? So my grandmother agreed, yes, sure, now will do. So as she was leaving, my mother was still calling out the last-minute directions of what to tell her. Tell her this, tell her that. Now be firm. And so my grandmother went. And Baba Jan was seated under, and my Baba Jan looked at my mother, my grandmother. Now, you see, they're both fair complexion, they're both lovely, and Baba Jan looks at the clock. There was a little clock. They said, you take them. I've been waiting for you a long time. You know, it's good you arrived. I've been waiting for you. She was late a few minutes, you see. So, first of all, my grandmother's surprised. She was waiting for me. But I thought my daughter sent me to tell her things. Tell her what's what. So anyway, then my grandmother sat down. And Baba Jan looked at her, smiling into her eyes, as she used to do, you know. That those eyes that look amazing. Anyway, she said something in Persian. So my grandmother was surprised, replied back in Persian. They went bandying these beautiful Persian verses back and forth. One would start and the other would reply. And then this went on. And then Baba Jan even sang a verse. And my grandmother sang in reply. And they were having a grand time, these two old ladies. Marvelous. And suddenly Baba Jan said, after a long time, she looked at the clock and she said, don't you think your daughter will be waiting for you? Isn't it time you left? Daughter? Oh, yes, Baba Jan, yes. So late. Oh, by the way, Baba Jan, my daughter, yes, I know. Tell her he's not just her son. He's for the whole world. My son. He's for the whole world. Tell her that. Tell her not to worry. Tell her. Go tell her. But Baba said, yes, tell her you told me. Go. So my poor grandmother hurried home. And my mother said, I've been waiting for you. Kept looking out. Had you come? What happened? Why did it take you so long? And before my grandmother could say anything, you told her everything, didn't you? Yes. I gave her a piece of my mind and yours, Shirin. Yes, I told her everything. Good. So that's how Baba Jan did it. But then you all must have heard it so many times. I never know which story to tell. You see, everybody came to Baba Jan. Everybody has the right to approach these people who are God. And those around them also accept that and know that. So beggars would come, lepers would come, singers would come, kawals. On Thursdays evenings, the road in front of Baba Jan, it was a big street, this way and this way, would be blocked because the singers were singing before her as from their heart. They were not invited or called. They just come and offer their offering to Baba Jan. And others, hearing this beautiful kawali and knowing that they would be there, they'd gather around. So it'd be quite a crowd. So one day, you see, first of all, I must tell you that the seat, her seat was next to the tree. Now you see her shrine this way. Horizontal to the road. It used to be facing the road in the old days, right next to that big neem tree. Part of the tree was in it, enclosed in it. And then there would be this. It wasn't a very long thing because Baba Jan was small and she never really slept like full length like we would. Even if she rested, it was like a three-quarter resting like that. So there was a railing, a brass railing round. And I used to call it Baba Jan's cradle when I was little. I said, look, Baba Jan was in her cradle today. Because I had been to Baba Jan since I was 4 years old. So she would be in that cradle. So one day she was lying like that. Mother was there, myself, Padre's mother, Freni Masi, and another Parsi lady, a Zoroastrian lady, who had just come to be interested. So Freni Masi drew her, and she would make her come to Baba Jan and be with us. So there she was. As we said, she was new to Baba Jan. So, and Baba Jan was lying down, resting sort of, not flat, but three quarters like that, at an angle. And she covered her head with a sheet. And as we were silently seated, quietly, not making a noise, not moving. A leper shuffles up towards her. He's very, very much a leper. The fingers, he has no fingers, it's just the stumps on the palm, and his nose is funny, and he's got bandages on his feet, and he goes shuffle, 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 and he comes. And we just look at him. And Babajan sits up and says, and he has in his hand a little package, an old newspaper with some sweets in it, called Penda, which is made of condensed milk, milk that you condensed and you make it. So he had four or five of those in this old, dirty newspaper and clutched tight in his hand. Now, so he came and gave his offering to Babajan. So Babajan opened it. Now, while Babajan's opened it and we can see the pandas, that new lady thought to herself, that Franny Masi always tells me that if ever they give you something, never refuse. No matter what it is, you must eat it. But supposing Babajan gives something from this leper's hand, how on earth can we eat it? So she was very disturbed in her mind. She told us afterwards about all this. So Babajan gives one look at the panda and she gets angry at that leper. She abuses him. You so-and-so, and how dare you come here and you're this and you're that. And if I ever see your face again, blacken your face, get out of here, never let me see your face again, blah, blah, blah. Very high, in a high voice, she was getting angry and anger. And that man wasn't disturbed. There was quite a smile on his face because they know that anything from the master, even if it's abuse, is very beneficial. It's a good thing. It's like a blessing. So anyway, he takes that little newspaper thing back in his hand and clutching in that festered palm with all the pandas in it. And he goes off, shuffles away. And Babajan puts the sheet over her and again lies down, sort of. About 1 minute must have gone by, and she removed the sheet again, sat up very, very strong and forceful. She had a gentleness and a force about her. So she sat up with all force and said, "Where is that wretch? That thief? He offered me something and he took it away. He took what was mine. Catch him, he's a thief. And he's in so-and-so and this and all." Very, very choice words. Out. So the Mujawa, the one next to him with the beard, and he said, "Yes, Babajan." He didn't know what was happening. And she was raving. So then Franny Masi said to the man, "I think she means that leper who was here. Go find that leper. That's the one she wants." So the man and the other two, the three of them ran looking for a leper. Sure enough, some distance away they found him and they quickly caught hold of him. "Hey you, Babajan wants you." "Me? Yes." So he shuffled back. And I saw him come back again, standing before Babajan. Babajan said, "You took away what was mine. You gave it to me and then you took it away. There, there, there. So give it." So the man happily puts out. So she takes that little newspaper thing in her hand and she nods at it. As if she's talking to it, she looks at it, she nods. Then she takes just one out of it, turns, and gives it to that woman. And she puts out her hand and takes it and eats it. Because she said afterwards, she said, "Babajan read my thoughts. We didn't know what was going on." She didn't give it to anybody else. Then she wrapped the bundle again, gave it to the leper, said, "Didn't I tell you never to show your face?" The poor man shoveled it, very happy with a smile going on. You know,
sigh of relief that she had.
Yes.
When she drove him out.
Yes, first time when Babajan drove that leper out, the lady told us afterwards, "Oh, what a sigh of relief she had. Oh, she didn't take any." But then, afterwards when she called him again and only gave it to her, then she realized that Babajan knew what she was feeling and thinking, and therefore she was giving it. By that time she had sense, and she very happily took it. I remember from the time I was small that there was a picture of Baba on that tree. There was a nail in the tree a sort of big nail tried to put in so it was bent, and a very small picture. I think it was a print of Baba's photo, and the frame wasn't done well. You know, a very Indian, cheap frame, but it was there. It was there. And even when I was little, I also had training from Freni Masi, Padre's mother. When mother and I would go there, she'd say, you know, she would guide me, show me how, no matter what Babajan does, no matter what Babajan says, we mustn't be scared. We must always, accept. So there was that time when she called me over. We were sitting. She used to call for tea from the hotel that's opposite, which is now called the Babajan Hotel. There's a big board there, right there. So she would call for tea sometimes and pass it around. Those people just gave it from the heart. So sometimes we would get cups of tea from her and some laughter we would have. She would say something and it would be a light, jolly time. But there were times when she was abusive and times when she was meditative. And one day she was just looking. She would keep doing this as if she's taking things out. And one day I also remember when a lame man came to Baba. He had no leg and he wanted leg. And she kept looking. She would talk to someone whom we couldn't see, as it were, and say, but we could hear, you see. She meant that we should hear. And she said to him, but you have such a storehouse of legs and hands. So many you have. Why don't you give some to this man? He wants legs. Give it. Of course, I don't think he had it, but that. So one day when she was sitting like that, and then she suddenly looked at me, and then she called me. She called me, so I must have been 8, 9, somewhere between that age. So she called me. So I walked over to her, and she took my hand, and she looked at me. Then she turned and put her head on Baba's picture that was on the tree. And she cried. And that's when I was a bit scared. And still in hers, I turned on the tree. And she cried. And that's when I was a bit scared, nervous. So while my hand's still in hers, I turned around to look at Freni Masi, and she said, with a finger on her lips, shh, just don't move, just stay. So I just stayed there till she raised her head, and then as if nothing had happened. But not only because my memory is stirred by others talking about it, but because I've often heard it from my mother and from my aunt, telling other people, telling, you know, incidents and stories, and this would come up, and I'd always want to hear it again. So that's how I remember. It seems when I was 4 years old, my aunt dressed me up in a sari, made the sari small, you know, like babies, for baby size, and she had a little choli blouse, and there were bells on my ankles, because it seemed I was fond of dancing. So I'd go ting, ting, ting with the bells dancing and the sari on. And dressed me up with the kunku and everything. And then they gave me a garland in my hand, which was for Babajan, flowers. Now, Babajan never accepted garland around her neck. But I know that people would just place them. Sometimes some people would place. Or she would just take it and put it down. But she never put it around her neck. So when they gave me the garland for Babajan, being a child, I thought this was for myself. This would make my costume complete. There's the sari, there's the bells, and I wanted to put the garland on. And they said, no, that's for Babajan. And I said, no, that's for me. I want to put it on. I want the garland. And they did a lot of persuasion just to give up that garland, and then they kept it. So then I forgot, and it seemed I went along with them to Babajan. And when I went to Babajan, See, she was so pleased to see this little child dressed up in a sari, you know, and, oh, she was beaming at me, and what she said, I don't remember, but she petted me, and she was, and then somebody was pushing the garland flowers in my hand. Give it to Babajan. Give it to Babajan. Practically forced me to give it to Babajan, you know, put it in my hand and that, and before I knew it, it was in Babajan. And, you know, Babajan took it, and she put it around my neck, which is what I wanted to do, which is none of them would let me do it. Babajan, being all-knowing and all-love, she said, all right. She put it on the child's neck. Ah, then they were very surprised, it seemed. But I thought, this is right. I mean, this is part of my dress.
Did you see Barbara and Babajan together?
No. You see, I was born at the end of 1918, so it could be 1919, you see. And I don't remember my babyhood at home with Baba, which they would tell about. But, and my mother would say the last thing Mehrukh did when he left home for good with the disciples and the Jhopri and all that, Manzil Amin and so forth, that he rocked my cradle and told Mother how fortunate I was. Our good fortune. And mother would tell me this. Mother would say that that's the last thing he did. And then it used to make me very happy with what she would say next. Because although I know she loved me, it proved how much she loved Baba. So she would say, you know, Mani, yes, you're very fortunate. Very good fortune for yourself, but not for me. She said, you came and my Mehrukh went. It was sort of a enter money, exit Mehrukh from the home. It was that close. A couple of years, perhaps. So I don't know any of this. I only know from what I have heard later. Or this much I know, and I always treasure it in my memory. That Baba was the one that was at the hospital. And the first to hear the nurse come out and say, it's a girl. So it was Baba. My father was at the shop. And so mother said that she would tell others. He came in just a few minutes after I was born, before they could even bathe her, wash her. He picked her up and was covering, and mother, of course, was shouting, Mehrukh, put her down, Mehrukh, that's not. Oh, put her down. She has to be washed. She has to be. Because my mother was a great stickler for cleanliness. I've had it all my short life with her and my long life with Mera. Because Mera also is... So I tell Mera, I said, Mera, you should have been my mother's daughter and I should have been your mother's daughter. I'm sometimes so naughty. Because something that falls on the ground, if you pick it up and use it, no. To say for Mera would want that you, that is washed. You know, and she's right. But I haven't got that in that sense. So I look from the side of my eyes. If Mera's around, I pick it up, hold it like a dead rat, you know, by the tail, and then I take it to the wash basket and the pail and put it over there. And Mera looks very pleased. I mean, I do indeed make her happy. But when I look around and she isn't there, I quickly take it, shake, put it back. One day she caught me at it. She said, see? But she was amused. She tells somebody, see how she does it?
Mani, on the earlier story, how old were you at the time when the leopard story? How old were you at that time?
Between 6 and 8. That early. Padre's mother was not very strong, you know, physically in her health. So she had this little room, very little distance from Babajan. Sometimes we'd also go and see her there. She was a wonderful character. And then most of the time she'd sit near Babajan, that place. She had, you know, when you remove your sari, you have a long petticoat, like a long skirt. She had a long pocket in that skirt, like a stocking, a long pocket. And in it was all these little herbal medicines, because they were very cheap, inexpensive, and for those who know it, it's very effective. But in that time, people didn't have much of the herbal medicines. You know, all these modern allopathic medicines with the Indians. But she would come with that long, and she'd sit on the bed, and one by one she'd bring out a packet and tell Mother, Shirin, this is lady pepper, this is, you have to put this with that. And I would be so fascinated because it was endless. It was like a long talking. And she would bring out and out and out. And it was like a magician. It was a magic trick. She went through a lot too in her life. Like a number of the old timers, the very, very close to Baba, very deeply connected with Baba. Just before they consciously came to Baba and they gave up their world, when their old life ended and the new life with Baba began, they've had to go through a lot in the world. The trauma, terrific. And sometimes as if Baba hacked the attachments, and sometimes he just undid the knots. But when it was wholly and solely those who were to be for him, like the ones who stayed, lived with him, that was totally, solely, wholly focused Baba. And so, like for instance, Mara's mother was very attached in the sense of very loving to her family. She had a lot of experiences from them that broke her heart. And then Mara's father died when her mother was young, very unexpectedly, just the two. She went through a lot. But that was naturally, just like Baba's parents had to go through a lot, Mara's mother also had to go through a lot before she came to Baba. Oh, it's a big thing. You see, one wonders why. Why that suffering? Why that pain, agony? Why this sheer cutting up? But if we only could see what it was going to be replaced with, if we could only see what we're going to get for giving up this, which we don't, which in the spiritual thing is sight unseen. That's where faith, trust comes in. You pay your price, as it were, of faith, love, just trusting, putting your hand in it. But then you're not told what you will receive. That's the beauty of his game. So nothing, those that have achieved that final self thing, they say, what we went through was nothing. We would take 5 million times that suffering if it's for this. Like once Baba said about all what is now, the suffering in the world now, the threat of wars, the horrible wars we've had, and all this thing. And Baba said, isn't it worth it for what's to come? Just in the world. The period that's to come in the world of brotherhood, of loving, giving, harmony, all the things that we dream about or think about. When that is to be, he says it will be. And he says, what a time. His expression, his gesture, and a long period. Then he turns to Nuri and said, isn't all this worth it? So there you see our perspective, because we only see it from this angle. If we could have seen from the giver's angle, then this seems nothing. And not only that, not only whatever we had to go through, he is with us. We have that assurance. We have his love. We have his presence. And we also have his assurance that those who are connected with him, those who give themselves to him, whatever they have to go through is lessened. He said once, I make a rock into a pebble. Or Upasana Maharaja said, we put what was from the head onto the shoulder, which is lighter here. The Baba actually is a rock and make into a pebble. So no matter what we have, it was much more than what we are carrying. And then sometimes I think we keep saying about, look, how Baba, we tell Baba stories, how Baba did this and how Baba helped us and Baba's compassion and Baba gave this. We never stop to think, what am I doing for Baba? Not, I don't mean in the sense of work. I don't mean printing pamphlets only. That's only a part of it. That's a reflection of it. But what you do for Baba is what for of yourself. You have to work on yourself. Just like you work on yourself before you go to a party. You dress well. You want to put on your pearls. You want to have your hair permed. Or you want this particular hat. So in that also, we have to work on ourselves for him. We just come and present ourselves to him. He accepts us for all we are. But we have to work on ourselves. We have to make the shape that would be pleasing to him. Pleasing to his eyes, pleasing to his heart. So that is the first work we have to do. We have to work on ourselves, and then we have to allow him to work on us. Again and again I keep saying, Baba's work is we. You are Baba's work, you are Baba's work, you are Baba's work, you are Baba's. Each I'm Baba's work. So he gives us the opportunity of this other work, during which time he works on us. Which is why there is this clash and friction and dust ups and all these things that come up. Because he's working on us. We have to learn to be as he wants. It's like in India. The foot has to adjust to the shoe. The shoe never adjusts to the foot. Any Indian footwear, you will see that. That's why we have to adjust to Baba's pleasure instead of wanting him to adjust to our wants, not even our needs, to our wants. You know, how happy we are if Baba wants something that's what you've been wanting, that'll make you happy. Whereas all the time it has to be from us. But even then, why is his compassion so unfathomable? That in spite of all that, he still takes us. He accepts us. He wants nothing but that we try. Try. Try your best. If we really try, sincerely try, it'll be possible because he helps them. His help is there, always.
Tara?
I think my throat is better today. I'll just get.
Mommy?
Endless. Baba makes the stories, we only tell them. But like Baba, they're endless.
What language did Baba John speak when you were communicating?
Hindustan.
Hindustan.
When you're put in that desperate situation, for me personally, I don't know how I would react. You know, and the comment was passed that, let's say if you like in a place like Argentina, so where you're just taken as a political prisoner, you're just thrown into jail, and that's the end of you. You know what I mean? I mean, you just, they call them desaparecidos, people, disappeared people.
Yeah.
Get rid of things when we want him to do so, when we ask. You see, the condition is that whatever he does, he can do anything. He can do everything. Our part is that we must want it. We must ask him. We must want, say, hey, I don't want this, Baba, do something about it. We have that privilege. And in fact, the condition of the game, the rule of the game is that. So the illustration Baba gave is that somebody is sitting in a room. That's his room. He's sitting there. He's writing, reading. And he's been in that room for a long, long time. And he has never been aware that there's so much dust is accumulating, that this is not what should be. And one day he realizes, he becomes aware, as it were, that, hey, I wish this room could be cleaned up. So much dust and dirt has accumulated over all those years. I wish someone would come and clean it. This should be clean. And Baba says, as a sweeper, he's always outside the door, waiting to be told, ah, is there someone who could sweep up this room? He immediately walks in with broom and all. And he starts sweeping. And then when he starts sweeping, the dust rises up. And the man said, goodness, This is terrible. I was much better off before. Where is all this dust coming from? This wasn't there before. But the thing is that the process of cleaning it, the process of getting rid of that dirt, is what makes it visible, because it's rising as he sweeps. Like you have been in a room. We have that experience. And if we are sitting in a room where a servant is sweeping the room, suddenly all this dust is there. So what you all feel is, ooh, this is grown, or this is a big thing. It isn't that. It's the process of his cleaning it out. So don't get scared. You know, you can throw that monster away. But it does happen. I mean, everybody experiences quite a few. One person was very sensitive to criticism. And he threw that in and said, Baba, I don't want to be so sensitive to what people say about me. I want to give that up. And he threw in a stick. I think it was a pretty big size log. And then afterwards, it seemed, he was just faced with so much criticism and so much seeing himself, as it were, facing that army where he thought there was just a little thing. There was so much of it before him. But as Baba has explained, that only you see it, you become aware of it, you realize it. Because all those years, it was down, settled down on the ground. And you didn't know it was there. But when it rises, it seems like that. But that's because it's being gotten rid of. It takes time. Yeah.
There is art.
All of a sudden, one day, because Baba was in seclusion, Baba, from his cottage.
When you come in another body. Because that is one of the things I asked Baba. A few questions. I said, Baba, supposing those people who love you now, who adore you, and then when they die and they come again in another body, is there a possibility they might miss you? Would they have to go searching for you, struggle? And supposing they miss, what would happen? I had a little fear on that, concerning all these people. And Baba said, no. It was a very confidential expression, and like talking in privacy. No, it isn't anything like that. He said, you pick up from where you leave off. And then he said, it's always going forward, never going back. So you see how important now is. You will pick up from where you leave off. So instead of spending our energy and time in other aspects of Baba's thing, just loving him, being close to him, wanting to please him, just the very fact that you want to please him, his hand is there. He's always ready. And so instead of arguing about the pros and cons of this and that, nothing. Just him. Sometimes you can miss him. It's like missing the woods for the trees. So, anything that helps you get closer to him, fine. If books help you to get closer to him, fine. But whatever that helps you to, it's all for that. All these are vehicles. All these are things that take you. If what I say helps you to get closer to Baba, fine. If what I say doesn't help you to get closer to Baba, put it in the waste paper basket. Not what I say or anything that's important. What helps you to come closer to Baba? Because he's all. That is why we had no questions for Baba. He was so vast, so all-filling, so total, that now, of course, we say, oh, I wish I'd asked Baba that. Oh, I wish we'd done this. Because now we're stumped for answers sometimes. But it wasn't questions and answers that were necessary. Just Baba. Baba is, and that's enough.
So Stella visited the guy.
White colored mint leaves in it and lemon leaves, what do you call lemon chard? That and the ordinary chili. Baba with the three monthly, four and the five girls, maybe nine of us. Anyway, the Baba wanted to stay on the premise, not on the wood fire, because it gives a smoke. Yeah, smoke smell of legacy. So it was always in our room, in one corner. The post office room is very big. The office way, you know, just that. And broader than this, a little bit broader. Very nice it was. One time we had 20 of us to sleep in there, 20 of us on the floor, you know, one time. That time, it was just four or five of us with my mother. Baba promised my mother that she wanted to serve Baba. Baba used to come to Pune, you know, Baba had not settled in Mirabad. He used to come to Pune so that for 4 days, 2 days. So Baba loved to sleep. And those who were in Pune gave birth to Baba.